These mornings we've been reading a few verses from John chapter 11. If you have a Bible and would look again at John 11. I guess it was Tuesday that we started. Tuesday morning and the overriding idea behind this in my mind is that Lazarus, this is a story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. And you remember at the beginning of the chapter it says that he was sick. And Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus to come. And Jesus stayed yet where he was for 2 days, didn't even start to go anywhere, and informed his disciples that this sickness was for the glory of God. And we had said on Tuesday that not necessarily specific to sickness, but our lives are to be lived for the glory of God. That's why we're here. That God may be glorified. We don't glorify anything else, ourselves, our church, our denomination, or whatever it may. We glorify Him. If anybody glories, glory in the Lord. Amen. If anybody wants to boast, boast in this, that you understand and know me. Not in your riches, not in your wisdom, not in your strength. But if you're going to boast about something, boast about what you know, what the Lord has revealed to you of Himself and His love and His mercy and His grace. And we're here to lift him up, to exalt him by word and by deed. Whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. So God's design, not only in Lazarus, but in us, in all of us, is that he be glorified. Every circumstance, every trial, every vicissitude of life that you encounter, it's all for the glory of God. We sang, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. And in those dangers and in those toils and in those distresses, he wants to sanctify to us in our deepest distress. He wants to manifest himself and his presence to us, and he thereby wants to then be glorified. And so, bottom line, when you look at the story of Lazarus, when you get to the end of the chapter, many people who saw what God did in Lazarus, they saw God glorified in Lazarus. It says they believed in the Lord Jesus. They saw what Jesus had done. They saw the power of God on display. It wasn't verbal, or we'll tell you about what Jesus can do. It's, here I am, and I'm a living proof of what Jesus can do. That's all of our lives. I don't have to necessarily just tell you, I can show you. I'm living proof, you're living proof. And wherever you go, like Lazarus, even without words, they just saw him and they knew the change. What a wonderful change in my life has been brought since Jesus came into my heart. And it was evidenced in Lazarus and you and we all, I trust, all to the glory of God. Well, we noticed on Wednesday morning, I guess it was, that Mary and Martha were disappointed. I guess the better word I would use is frustrated. They're frustrated about what took Jesus so long to get there. You know, well, why is he waiting? He should be coming now, and he's a little delayed, and I don't like this delay, and I don't understand this delay. And we had talked about disappointments in our own lives, trials that we don't want, we don't care for, we don't think we need, but the Lord knows, all for the glory of God. He knew why he was hanging around and delaying coming. He knew it was all for the glory of God. Mary and Martha couldn't get it. That's where we need to just trust him. That's where we need to just trust him. Kyle told me, was it this morning, Kyle, at breakfast, that he's just trusting. Oh, no, it was outside of the breakfast, out in the front of the palace. Just trusting that the Lord is going to use this accident and he is going to be glorified. I'm just trusting. I don't know how. I don't know when. I don't know where. And then he gave a couple illustrations. Maybe his brother Steve talked to the doctor. I don't think the doctor was saved, but Steve told him about camp. Hope he comes. And told him about the Lord. And well, all for the glory of God. Every opportunity. A mishap, a setback, a disappointment. And instead of, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. Well, what's the matter? And maybe she was a little bit upset or whatever. And so we can get that way too. But Lord, help me just to trust you. When I don't see my way through, just to stay myself upon Jehovah. And that was a couple days ago. And yesterday we got out to the tomb where Lazarus was. And there as they came to the tomb, it says in the Bible that Jesus said to the disciples, those men with him, around him, move the stone. Take away the stone. Now, we had come to the conclusion, I think, that Jesus could have done that. If he could raise the dead, he could move a stone. But he didn't choose to. He could have, by his own power, blown the stone away, rolled it away. But he asked the disciples, he privileged the disciples. If God is going to be glorified, sometimes there are things that you and I need to do to help God be glorified. We need to do our part. We can't turn the water into wine, but we can fill the water pots with water. We can't multiply the bread and feed the groups, the thousands of people, but we can bring our little two bits and offer it to Jesus. And what we can do, we should. What we can offer, we should give and bring to him and trust that he then will do his work. And until that stone was rolled away, Lazarus couldn't get out. And I don't know if he'd still be there today if they didn't move the stone, but I know that they did. They took away the stone. They didn't understand that either. Lord, by now he's dead 4 days. He stinks already. I don't know why you want to move that stone. I think it's a good idea to keep it there. And by the way, just to think about what we talked about last night, how many guys do you think it took to move the stone? One?
Well.
It took a bunch of them. If you've ever read, and some of you maybe have, read about the sepulchers that they used to have in those days, and about these stones, we're talking about a mega piece of rock. And they used to put them in front of sepulchers. They had a track that they put it on. A makeshift track, of course, and they would put it downhill. They would roll the stone. They would build it on an angle so that they could roll the stone down in front of the tomb or the sepulcher. Now, to move that stone was nigh impossible. I mean, not even when you had all your buddies with you. It was a tough chore because you had to roll it uphill. That was a job, a chore. Roll the stone away. It took more than just Peter to do that. He probably was the biggest and the burliest, the heaviest for sure. He couldn't run as fast as John, we know that. But whatever it was, it took more than Peter. It took more than Peter and John. Probably took more than Peter, John, and James. It probably took as many men as they could gather around that stone to move that stone and push it. And they had to work in cooperation with one another. Your work is my work. And our work is God's work. And one of us can't do this, but we together as the people of God. But we have to work together as the people of God. So many times that was in the... How many guys do you think it takes to move 30 gallons of water in a jug? You couldn't pick up a 30-gallon jug. You're lucky you could pick up a 5-gallon can of gasoline or something. 30 gallons, that's heavy. It was more than one guy that had to move those 30-gallon things. That was at the wedding feast of Cana of Galilee. That was a big chore. They had to work together. I mean, we can go on and ever with this, but how many people do you think it takes to feed? You waitresses. How many people does it take to feed 5,000 plus women and children? 10, 12,000 people. Wouldn't you like to be the only waitress? Okay, it's your chore. You got these 12,000 people. You distribute. You'd still be there. You wouldn't make meetings in the morning. You'd have to work right through. That's a lot of work. You need other people. It took more than just, it takes cooperation. It's that way in the kingdom of God and in the work of God. That's why we all pull together. How happy we'll be. Because if I'm doing it myself, I can't. And if I'm the only one feeding them, forget about it. But if you work with me and I work with you and your work is my work and our work is God's work, the work will get done to the glory of God. Now, I can't do it all, and you can't do it all. And what we offer and what we give is very small, but give what you can. Give of your best to the master. Give of the strength of your youth. Do what you can do and do it heartily as unto the Lord, that he may be glorified. And so they moved the stone yesterday. What are stones? What are stones that we have? Stones of unbelief, indifference, maybe sins, besetting sins, secret... Move away the stones so that God could be glorified. And so they moved away the stone. Now, that's where we left Lazarus. He's dead. He's in the tomb somewhere. The smell is emanating, but he has not yet appeared. We're up to about the, 38th verse of the 11th chapter. It says, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. Again, I don't want to belabor the point, but again, it's the same point. Lord, I'm glad these people, I want you to be glorified. It's for their purpose. It's for that reason. It's the benefit of the people standing here. I want them to believe that you sent me. I want you to be glorified. That's what Jesus was all about. I've come not to do my own will, but I want to do the will of him who sent me, and I want to glorify his name, and I want to finish his work. And so when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice. Now, could you imagine? It must have been like an eerie, spooky kind of a feeling. You don't go to tombs and you move stones away, and you're standing out there, and Jesus had said some strange things like, if you'd believe, you'd see the glory of God. I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead. Yeah, I know my brother will rise again someday. Yeah, I'm not talking about someday. Let's go. And they go out there and they're all weeping and crying. And then Jesus in a loud voice. I mean, I would have been wide-eyed. I wouldn't have been sleeping. I would have been looking at what's going to happen now. This is amazing. Lazarus! Come forth. I was preaching like this in church a lot of years ago now. Did I wake you up? I'm sorry if I did. No, I'm not sorry if I did. I didn't wake anybody up. You're looking. But anyway, I was preaching this in church, and I was telling the story. Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is dead 4 days. Lazarus stinks. And then Lazarus come up. I didn't know it, but there was a guy that was in the meeting that day. His name was Lazarus. And and he didn't know nothing about the Bible. He was brought by another guy in the church and co-worker, and he comes and he sits down. And here I am telling Lazarus is dead. Well, he was. He was dead in trespasses and sins. And Lazarus, come forth. And when Jesus said that, it says that the one that was bound, the dead came out. His hands and his feet were wrapped with strips of linen, and a cloth was around his face. Imagine that. That's spooky. You know, Brother Steve. Remember Brother Steve?
Yes.
Oh, Brother Steve, how many years ago was this? This was a lot of years ago on Vacation Bible School.
I think it was 21, somewhere around.
That many years ago.
Somewhere. My children were small.
So. Yeah. The mine weren't even, some of them. I guess they were small too, some of them, and some weren't. But 21 years ago. Steve, you just come to church, right? Just gave his heart to the Lord, so you all know Brother Steve, so you'll appreciate this. You don't mind me telling the story, do you? Yeah, me too. I do too. We decided we're going to use, we make our own Vacation Bible Schools. We don't use the curriculum. We make our own up, and we do a lot of skits sometimes. And so, come on, Brother Steve, we've got a place for you too. You can be Lazarus. And so we made this little tomb, a tent we put there in the front of the church, and we put Brother Steve in the tent. We wrapped him up hand and foot in like a blanket or something like that. And then I don't know who was doing the Lazarus come forth part.
You were. You were Yeshua.
Okay. So Lazarus come forth. And you got these little beginners sitting right in front of the tomb. And then, of course, the prime of these little kids. And all of a sudden, I guess we didn't prompt Steve well enough or whatever. All of a sudden, you hear, oh. It sounded like, Gentle Ben was in there or some. And he comes rolling out of the tent door. And he's like this. And the beginners are all scared to death. They never came back to vacation. No, they didn't. He was trying to put the fear of God into them or something. And it was a little late then for me to do anything about this. Steve, well, Lazarus came forth, not quite like Steve, perhaps, but maybe. Maybe he came out with a roar and a groan and a moan and just carried on. I don't know. But whatever it was, in this day, Lazarus, he came bound hand and foot, it says in the King James. What did I read in the NIV? It says, he came out, his hands and his feet were wrapped with straps of linen, strips of linen, and there was a cloth around his face. It was a spooky thing, wrapped up like that. Now, I mean, I don't know. Again, I'm not too sure. I don't think he did it the way Steve portrayed it. And I don't know, you know, if your feet are bound and you're wrapped up in linen, how do you get out of the tomb? How do you come out? I imagine like the Easter Bunny. I don't know. I imagine you do one of these. I don't know. Or maybe you shuffle a little bit if you can. But whatever he did, that's what he did. He came out that way. He was bound hand and foot. Now let me ask you a couple questions. Was he alive?
Yes.
Was he ever going to be more alive than he was when he was like this? Was he ever going to be more alive? He's alive. He's as alive as he'll ever be. God wants to be glorified, right? God wants to be glorified. And is God being glorified by Lazarus bouncing out of the tomb? Is God being glorified? Amen. Yeah, he's alive. And he'll never be more alive than he was right then and there. He's alive. Thank God he's alive. Lazarus is alive. But there's a problem yet. See, he was still in his grave clothes, I heard Frank say. He was still in his grave clothes. So what did they say? Well, let me read it to you so you don't think I'm making it up. He's bound in this stuff, wrapped up in the linens and the cloth around his face. And Jesus says to them, the disciples, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Loose him, the King James says. I like those words better. Loose him. And let him go. Where should he go? Loose him and let him go free. Loose him and let him go. Let him go anywhere he wants to go. And everywhere he went, who was being glorified? Everywhere he went. If he went back home, God was being glorified back home. Because Lazarus was there alive. Not bound anymore, not wrapped up anymore, not bouncing around, but now he could freely get around and glorify God in his body and in his soul and in his spirit, which belong to God. God, you're going to be glorified in me by my life, Paul says, or by my death. And through the death of Lazarus, God was being glorified. And God wants to be glorified in you and me. We've come to that conclusion how many times this week so far? God wants to be glorified. Sometimes we're alive. We'll never be more alive than we are, but sometimes we're still bound. Is it possible? Oh, it sure is possible. Sometimes we're bound by our own inhibitions, our own fears, our own timidity, our own shyness. I am naturally a very shy person. Now, some of you who maybe met me last year or 2 years ago or 3 years ago, or this year, you say, I don't see that at all. Sister Marianne, she told me, I don't, when did you tell me that? I walked out of there and said, man, thanks a lot. She said, the first time I saw you in Ridgewood, when you got up to speak, you turned all red and you were scared. And I guess I was. I may have been bound. Maybe I still am. But, you know, God wants to loose us from those things. To be afraid of our own shadows, perhaps. Well, I can't speak a word. I'm live. I've got more life in me and never had more in me than I do now. It's resurrection life. It's new life. It's a new birth. It's a new beginning. God has given me this life. I didn't raise myself. He raised me. But I need to be freed. I need to be loosed and let go. And wherever I go, then to glorify him. And sometimes, you know, hide it under a bushel. That's where I learned boo from. When I was in Taiwan, I was teaching them that little song. Hide it under a bushel, boo. No, I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. I'm not going to hide that under that bushel. No, I'm not going to do that. I want everybody to see God. I want him to be glorified in me and through me. And so we need to be loose sometimes. Think of the Apostle Peter. You remember Peter was a disciple of Jesus. Jesus called him. He left his fishing nets. He went to follow Jesus. And by Jesus' own words, you read them in the Bible. Peter, who do men say that I am? Well, some say you're this, some say you're that, some say you're Elijah, some say you're John the Baptist, some say this. And Peter, who do you say that I am? And you remember what Peter said? What did Peter say? What was his answer? Thou art the Christ. Loose him and let him go. Speak up. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you remember what Jesus said? Peter, flesh and blood hasn't revealed that to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Peter had a revelation. He knew Jesus. He knew who Jesus was. He walked with Jesus. He talked with Jesus. He saw the miracles Jesus did. He loved Jesus. There's no doubt about it. He was willing and ready to give his life for Jesus. He was willing and ready to take the sword out of its sheath where they came to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And that was a foolhardy thing to do against the Roman soldiers. You got one guy flailing around with the sword. It could have been mincemeat in a half a second, but Peter loved Jesus and was willing to die for Jesus. I don't think there was any more that he needed to be convinced of who Jesus was. And that was revealed to him by the Father in heaven. However, there was a problem with Peter. He was still bound, or wasn't he? What happened when he was, well, right after the crucifixion? What happened when he was standing around the fire? Not after the crucifixion, before. When he's looking into the judgment hall, and that lady came over to him. The lady said, dude, don't you know? Weren't you one of those guys? Don't you know? Don't you know Jesus? Weren't you with Jesus? What did Peter say? What do you say? What do I say? Do you know Jesus? I go to church sometimes, but don't worry, I don't go much. I go as little as possible. Don't worry, man. You know Jesus. You love Jesus. You want to serve him. You want to follow him. You'll never have more life in you than you do now. But there's a binding up. Something has wrapped us. And to really glorify God, we need to be loosed and let go. That's what Peter needed. When was Peter loosed and let go? You think so?
Yeah.
Oh, what a change and transformation came into Peter. When you read him three times, as you know, he denied that he ever even knew the Lord. And the cock crew and Peter wept bitterly because he loved the Lord very much. The Lord restored him at the end of the Gospel of John. He still seems to have been, who knows what he was going to do with his life and what he was going to follow. But then he heard that report, the angel, go to the city of Jerusalem to be endued with power from on high. And I think if you read the book of Acts, you'd have to agree that something happened at Pentecost that Peter was loosed. And he was let go. But that's what Jesus said. Go to that city and you will receive power from on high. After the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And then you're going to be a witness for me. Then you'll receive the power. Then you'll be loosed and let go. To Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and wherever you go. Wherever you go, you'll be free to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when it's needful, you'll even use words. But by your life and by your words, God will be glorified. And right away on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up on a soapbox and he began to preach to the people. We're not drunk like you think we're drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. Nobody's drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. And we're certainly not drunk as you think. But this is what Joel prophesied. This is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And where you hear the word of God being spoken in your own tongue and you being witnessed to in your own language. Imagine they had a Russian guy back there going in Russian. One of those disciples, it doesn't say it, it says Parthians and Medes. Is that anywhere near Russia? I don't think so. They've got all in their own language. They heard the wonderful works of God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit came and those 120 were loosed and let go. And Peter was loosed and let go, and he preached on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people got saved. And then you keep on reading the book of Acts, and in the 14th chapter of Acts, these unlearned and ignorant people have turned the whole world upside down. Why? Because the Holy Spirit came upon them, filled them, sent them out into this world, loosed them, and let them go. And I'm suggesting to us this morning that you and I, we need also to be loosed, freed from ourselves. There's a song that we hear sung, "Oh, to be saved from myself, dear Lord." What does that mean? How can you be saved? What does that mean? Oh, to be saved from myself, dear Lord. Oh, to be lost in thee. Oh, that it might be no more I. You know, we're saved from sin. We need to be saved from ourselves. We need to be filled with Christ and Christ alone. Not of earth to cloud the glory. Not of self the light to dim. But we want to shine forth the light of the glorious gospel. And that's what Paul says to the Philippians. As you hold forth the word of life, you're like stars in the sky. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. How I wonder what you are. Well, you are to be one of those stars out in the sky, twinkling. And people are to wonder how you and what you are and why you're all about. Why can you rejoice when things go wrong? Why can you sing when you're not supposed to be singing and it's supposed to be in a... Why can you be different than you are? God wants to be glorified. And to that end, I need to be loosed and let go. Oh, that God would do that among us and for us more and more. Sometimes we just got a little grave clothes yet. We just got a little vestige yet, and we're getting there, but we're not quite finished with the fetters being broken. Jesus breaks every fetter, every chain, everything that ensnares, even the cobwebs. He gets rid of it all, and I'm thankful that he does. And Lazarus was loosed, and he was let go, and God was glorified. We read thereafter, the next couple of verses, it says that wherever Lazarus went, as he visited, as he saw folks, it says that people believed on Jesus when they saw Lazarus. When they saw the power of God on display in and through his life. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul, and you'll see. It's best for him to have his way with thee. And so, Lord, we pray today, Lord, you'll loose us. Maybe everyone here in this room, perhaps, we all have resurrection life. We're not dead in our trespasses and in our sins. You've forgiven our sins, and you've filled us with the life of Christ. And we thank you for that, Lord, the free gift of God. Nothing we've earned or merited. We were dead. You called us to life. You filled us with life. But Lord, how many of us are bouncing around still with our grave clothes on? We really can't get very far because we can't really walk very well. We can't really talk too well with napkins over our faces. We need to get rid of the grave clothes. Good, we got life. Great, wonderful. But Lord, we need to be freed and loosed and sent out into this world, Lord, to show forth the praise of him who called us out of our death and darkness into his marvelous light and life. And we pray today, Lord, dear Lord, that you'll continue that work of loosing, freeing. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So, Lord, we just ask today, fill us with the Holy Spirit. Lord, if that's indeed what it takes, if that's really what we need, if that's the power to make this all work for us, Lord, we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And we pray, Lord, that you'll fill us. Fill us today. Fill us now. Lord, at the close of this meeting, fill us with thy Holy Spirit. Loose us, O God, from ourselves. Lord, we pray that you'll break the fetters, anything that might hold us back. Lord, we pray that you'll come to us. We want the stones to be removed. We want the chains and fetters to be broken. We want to be set free. We want to get out of the tomb and out of the grave. And we want to go out and glorify you. And Lord, we need your spirit. We need your help. We need your life. And you've come that we might have life and that we have it more abundantly. And that's found in you, Jesus. And so this morning we take the life of victory. Not I, but Christ, himself in me. He conquers now and he sets me free. We take and you give the victory. Oh, dear Lord, glorify your name. In and through us we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. 116, let us sing together. 116.
us, flow through us, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Channels only, blessed Master, God with all thy wondrous power, flowing through us, thou canst use us.
This hour flowing through us. This day, let resurrection life be our portion. This day, may we walk in newness of life. And this day, may God be glorified in us. Lord, it's our desire and our prayer, and the will to do is present, but Lord, the power, Lord, give us the help that we need. Enable us by your Spirit. Strengthen us today to do your will, to the honor, to the praise, and to the glory of your name. Staff or guests, those who are coming today, those who are leaving, Lord, we just pray, Father, that each one, as we come into these grounds, might sense your presence, be drawn to you, desire that you have your way with us. We pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.